This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi exceptional luxury performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, John Feinstein is the award-winning columnist for the Washington Post, author of more than 30 books. Now, his newest is The First Major, Inside Story of the 2016 Ryder Cup. It is now available. It is a pleasure to welcome John Feinstein back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, John.
John, good to talk to you as always. Thanks.
Yeah, congratulations on the new baby.
Yes. You know what? That's a good analogy, because the last couple of months before a book comes out, you do feel like you're about 8 months pregnant, because you're so ready for it to be out and for people to read it and to get responses to it and do the book tour that's part of the deal for both better and worse. And I'm not going to try to claim it's as difficult as being pregnant, but I think I have some understanding of it as a result.
Smart man. If I had said to you after the first couple of books, you know, there's going to be like 40 more of these, what would you have said?
I hope I'll be retired long before then. But you know, the real sea change for me was doing Season on the Brink, which was my first book. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to come out of that book was the opportunity to do a second book. I never dreamed it would become the best-selling sports book of all time, and would set me up essentially to be able to write the books I wanted to do instead of just writing books because a publisher said, write this because it'll sell.
Congratulations. That's a treat. That's a privilege. Good for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've always viewed it that way. I've always said that I was very lucky that I hit pay dirt with that first book. And then Good Walk Spoiled was, I believe, my sixth book. And, of course, that ended up outselling Season on the Brink. And that allowed me not only more independence, but allowed me to sort of, again, pick and choose my topics within golf, because at that point my editor was just saying, anything golf you want to do, we're in.
Yeah.
And that's been nice too.
Speaking of that, you say early in this book, The First Major, that there came a time when you knew you would write a book about the Ryder Cup, but so why did this take so long? Why was it this Ryder Cup?
Well, a lot of it was circumstance. I like to switch up sports often, because I think that keeps me fresh. I think if I did all my books on basketball or all my books on golf or all my books on football, that I would get a little stale. But moving to different sports and different topics keeps me fresh. And the circumstances were never quite right for a Ryder Cup, for whatever reason. There are a bunch of different reasons that I won't bore you with. But after the loss at Medina, the way the U.S. lost, and then Tom Watson was going to be the captain. And you know how close I am to Tom because of Bruce Edwards and Caddy for Life and the Bruce Edwards Foundation that he and I founded together 12 years ago that raises money for ALS research. And so I actually sat down, had breakfast with Tom, and told him, you know, I want to write the book in 2014, and I want total access to the team room. And Tom said he would think about it. And he came back to me and he said, you know what, John, I know you'd write a great book. But if one player, and I'm sure he was thinking about Tiger Woods, came to me at some point and said, I'm not comfortable with Feinstein in the room. And I had told him, I said, I know how to do this. I've done it before. I won't get in anybody's way. And he said, and I trust you absolutely that you would do that. But if one player came to me and said he was a little uncomfortable and we lost 14.5, 13.5, because that guy was just a little bit off, I'd never forgive myself. And I understood that.
Yeah.
And I've also been close to Davis, dating back to A Good Walk Spoiled. It was his match against Costantino Rocca in 93 at the Belfry that kind of set the bells off in my head saying, I want to do a Ryder Cup book. So I figured Davis would have a similar reaction that Tom would have, and Davis told me that he would have. So I didn't ask for that. What I decided to do instead was to get as close as I could to as many of the players and captains on both sides, because that way, A, I wouldn't be as dependent on the outcome for the book to be interesting on both sides of the Atlantic or good to read, and B, because there are so, as you've read the book, so you know that there are at least as many guys on the European side with wonderful stories to tell and who are wonderful storytellers as on the American side. So I thought that made the book richer, and I was able to, I think, get inside the team rooms, even though I wasn't there physically. I think the reader will feel like he or she is there as they read this book.
We're talking with John Feinstein here on the Augusta Golf Show. Could not agree more. All right, well, let's do a little of that. Tell the listener something they don't know about Rory McIlroy.
Well, this is a story that, to me, kind of defines why Rory's so special. We were talking about his first Ryder Cup in Wales in 2010. And in 2009, when it first became apparent he was going to make the Ryder Cup team the next year at the age of 21, he was asked about it. And he said, yeah, of course I'd love to play. I'm sure it'll be fun. But the majors are really what I'm about. The Ryder Cup's kind of a cool exhibition, but nothing more than that. And, of course, there was all this shock and horror in Europe that Rory would say that about the Ryder Cup, which is cherished over there. And he said, he told me, he said, I got there to Wales and I looked around and took me about 10 minutes to figure out I was wrong, that this was a big deal. This was a huge deal. And I was thrilled to be playing. And he said, when I look back on the initial comment, it was really kind of a selfish thing to say. I'm an only child. I was a prodigy. I was always raised that my golf was the most important thing in my world. And I just didn't grasp what it meant to be part of a team until I was actually part of a team. And I'll never forget, John, because we were having dinner and he leaned back in his chair and he looked at me and he said, imagine that, a golfer being selfish. Has to be a first. And that couple of minutes told me so much about Rory, about how smart he is, about how honest he is, and about what a good sense of humor he has. And he really does have a good sense of humor, and is as honest and open as any athlete I've ever met.
To that point, John, and to your point, you've written books on a variety of topics, gone from sport to sport to sport. How are golfers different than any other athlete?
Well, I mean, golf is one of two major individual sports that we have, the other one being tennis. And the difference between tennis players and golfers is tennis players, as you know, start to make huge money often when they're teenagers. They start, especially on the women's side, where you have major champions who are 15, 16, 17. On the men's side, you routinely have major champions who are 19, 20, 21. John McEnroe was 19 when he won the U.S. Open for the first time. Bjorn Borg was 17 when he won his first major title. Roger Federer was 21. I mean, the list goes on. Most golfers, now there are exceptions. Tiger Woods, certainly an exception. Jack Nicklaus, certainly an exception. Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy are exceptions. But most golfers struggle for a while. I mean, even Jordan Spieth missed at the second stage of Q school when he first turned. Have struggles along the way. Rory's struggling right now. Yeah. And I think as a result of that, they have a greater appreciation for their success. Understand how fortunate they are to have the success they have, to be making the money that they're making, and to be living the life that they're living. And they see all sorts of players around them who at one point might have been stars and are now struggling or who never make it. So I've always found them sort of more willing to share their stories and share themselves with an outsider like me than, say, tennis players would be. And, of course, the team sports guys are totally different. It's just a different world and a different life.
That leads me, in the minute or so we have left, to this last question. And I don't want you telling all the stories that are in the book, but my favorite story is the Darren Clark tending bar story.
Wow, yes. That's talk about life being a little bit different. I mean, Darren Clark, like Rory, grew up in Northern Ireland. and went to college briefly in the U.S., but was back home in Northern Ireland bartending, waiting for his chance to turn pro. And he got a phone call in the bar at about 10 o'clock at night, and the caller said very simply, there's a bomb inside the bar. It's going to go off in 15 minutes. And in Northern Ireland, you took those phone calls seriously. So the bar was evacuated. The bomb blew up 15 minutes later. And Darren later found out that the bomb had been right underneath the bar, you know, no more than a foot or two from where he was working, since 5:30 that night. And if the timer had somehow gone off a little bit earlier, he'd have been dead.
The book is full of those kinds of stories. The first major, the inside story of the 2016 Ryder Cup. It's now out, available wherever it is that you get your books. John, thank you for taking the time, as always. I appreciate it, and we will talk again.
My pleasure, as always, John. Thanks for having me.